Welcome back to Schaefer's Market Mashup. It is Monday, April 10th. Sorry I was away. I was too busy living vicariously through the Yukon Huskies that are national champions for the fifth time. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I forgot this was an investing
Very
podcast.
Very nice.
It is. We're about 1 week into the second quarter. So I'm all about progress reports, baby. If you remember in the first episode of 2023, I had on Seth Golden of the Phenon Group, friend of the program. We talked investing goals of 2023, resolutions, you name it. He's back, baby, and I'm putting him into the booth. I'm putting him into the spotlight. Want to check in on those investing goals. I want to check in on those life goals that we set. I've got them all written down here. But first, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me on again, Patrick. Interesting year so far. And Easter was great. You know, friends, families had a nice pork. I think they got pork butt roast, which was really good. Some queso and rice and black beans. Did it up for Easter. Took the kids to to Easter service. Had a good time. Took some pictures and everything. And first quarter's over with. I don't think a lot of folks expected the quarter to go quite the way it did in the market. So I guess, you know, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to say thank you, Mr. Market, and see what the second quarter has in store.
Yeah, I think you say thank you nervously, almost like with a little bit of a flinch with your hand out.
Yeah, right.
A little bit.
I mean, right. Yeah, you don't want to knock on that wood too much. There's just the headlines and kind of the unintended consequence from all those rate hikes last year, and to kick off this year, hitting the banking system to one degree or another does make you nervous about kind of the knock on effects. So, yeah, entering Q2, a little nervous, but, you know, I would say downside is opportunity, upside I'm positioned for. It's a win-win.
Right. So, broadly, how do you feel volatility is going to smooth out, or will it smooth out at all, especially heading into the summer with a couple more Fed meetings coming up? Is it something like you just kind of have to sit on your hands a little bit and watch things unfold? Is there any strategies that someone that wants to do something can do to at least tread water, keep their head above ground for a little bit?
Right. Yeah. You know, when it comes to volatility, coming into this year, I was of the opinion that we were in an elevated volatility regime last year. Although if you looked at the median VIX for the year, may not have realized that. I think it was a 24, 25 handle as the median VIX for last year, which given that we had a 20% annual drawdown in the S&P, I think most people would have thought it would have had a 30 handle at least. But either way, you usually go from elevated volatility regimes to lower volatility regimes, higher regimes in the put-call ratio to lower regimes in the put-call ratio. So was coming into this year anticipating a lower volatility regime all around. But, if there is that nuance or that wrinkle come mid-year, it could be around the debt ceiling debate that has to, find resolution in the early summer months. So I'm not anticipating just a slanty line, upper left-hand corner to lower right-hand corner in the VIX or the VVIX. But I think, we'll have some kind of a spike. I couldn't tell you to what degree, but I think folks will be buying ample amounts of protection like the week before the deadline hits for the debt ceiling to be raised. So, I wouldn't necessarily say sitting on your hands. If you have a game plan, that incorporates some of these, events that will arise during the year. That game plan, in my opinion, has a cash allocation dedicated to those types of events, if you will. And if you think that the economy is not going into a recession, in my opinion, you still got to be buying dips and, possibly selling rips, lower your cost average on your core holdings, take your shots. I'm never the kind of investor and trader who believes that you let the market take care of itself. There are always, means for which you can dollar cost average, improve your overall long-term positioning in the market, no matter what the environment.
Right. And that's why we love options, because they have this asymmetric payoff, cap downside, unlimited upside. Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at while you were talking there, VIX, the highest of VIX spiked on March 13th for the year was 26.52. Amid all the banking stuff, it kind of stayed dormant.
Yeah.
Which I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And that's equity volatility, obviously. But I mean, the MOVE Index is its own beast right now. The MOVE Index tells you the smart money, or so-called smart money associated with the bond market, doesn't have a clue. And you have the MOVE Index, or the volatility of the bond market index, basically looking like it's a great financial crisis, at those kind of levels. And we're always, I think it's been preached to us, for years and years and years that the bond market knows, follow the bond market. It knows it's the smart money, but the MOVE Index is telling you that no, this go around the bond market doesn't know for sure. So it's an interesting dynamic and kind of flying the ointment here this year. Hopefully that dies down and we can get some more. I think if you see bond market volatility die down, you'll see a greater confidence in equities going forward.
I mean, I've been following this for 5 years now, so you can say I'm in year two of med school, if you want to go on college terms.
Right.
There's always something
that
comes around that I'm taking myself to school on. And this is especially one of them, where you look around and you see all this risk and you see all this uncertainty, and sometimes it's not really playing out. So, you just have to keep your pen ready to write down and learn, whatever comes in front of you. And that's what we're going to do today. We'll run through the investing ones for both of us, and then we'll check in on the life ones. So I had written down with you.
Sounds good.
And if you don't want to share, or if you say, to be continued, throw that out there, that's fine. But you did hint and allude at some patent developments with Pepsi and a couple of beverage companies. What do you have to report?
Well, we presented actually, we wanted to, because we have development deals with Pepsi for technologies and joint ventures in that arena. But the specific technology that we've been working on, we haven't wanted to introduce to Pepsi, because it's very sensitive because of the potential revenue stream and cost savings that it could lend to a company like Pepsi or the other majors, Keurig, Dr. Pepper, and Coca-Cola. So instead of, opening, that door to Pepsi with this particular technology, and giving them our patent portfolio, showing them our patent portfolio and whatnot, we decided to play another angle and actually knocked on the doors, through our connections and everything at Coca-Cola. Actually going to Atlanta headquarters and presenting what they call our deck presentation. And at the end of it, it was like a hush that fell over the crowd, because they knew that this was the technology that could literally save these guys a couple billion dollars and every single year. And then it's just a matter of, okay, well, how do we fine tune it to the extent where like it's $10 billion a year? And, you know, we were waiting, you know, I even said, because it was literally like maybe, you know, 30 seconds of awkwardness in a room with top level executives that are decision makers. It's one thing to present to a VP of this area of the business or a VP, but the top level of executives, and there's nothing said for like 30 seconds. You know, I literally had to interrupt and go, you know, I know this was a lot to go over, and if there's a particular slide that you want me to rewind, otherwise, you know, we're open to questions, and hopefully we can, you know, get this dialogue start. And then we finally got a couple of questions going and people started to open up, but they also, cause they, you know, they're aware of our company and know that we have JVs, joint venture deals with Pepsi. So questions, you know, started to come out about that. But, you know, to kind of bottom line, it was a very good presentation. So good that the rumor mill started going and got back to Pepsi, which is what we wanted. Ideally, when we go to Pepsi, we wanted leverage. Yeah. We wanted Pepsi to know that you're not our only, you know, you're not our father. You know, we have other areas of opportunity. So we're kind of leveraging, you know, that was our strategy for this particular technology, because we don't want to get steamrolled. We've been steamrolled, you know, by Pepsi before. And it just, you know, when you deal with these conglomerates that are the size that they are, they kind of treat you like, well, you know, you need us, we don't need you. And so we wanted to show them that we were going to be able to come to the table with a bit more leverage this time than in previous occasions. So yeah, going well.
You know, a lot to be learned there from anyone that just listened to that about, you know, betting on yourself, keeping all your options open, you know, maintaining some business savvy, just pure gold right there. Moving down the list, you talked about leaving less on the table when you're investing and almost, mm-hmm. you know, some self-reflection from you saying, why am I doing this all the time? I'm an experienced investor. What is causing this to happen? Have you had any breakthroughs there?
Little bit, you know, sample size isn't big enough yet because this is what, you know, this is a goal for this year. And hopefully it's one that I can,
of course,
you know, make a routine, put in practice and just becomes one of my disciplines. But definitely some practice in, you know, extending the trade to capture more profitability. I mean, I usually don't make a trade. I usually don't make an investment without conviction. And I'm always willing to, you know, I have a bit more risk tolerance than a lot of, you know, fund managers that I run in circles with. And so if I'm already willing to take a larger drawdown than, you know, maybe the average person, you know, why not, you know, broaden my actual time horizon for this trade and profit objective for this trade or investment? You know, what do I really lose except for maybe just time? And that's the way I was looking at it coming into this year. So because I'm usually leaving too much meat on the bone, as they say, you know, for an individual trade or investment idea. So far it's actually, and it's one of those things you have to be conscious about, you know, not to slip back into your, you know, lesser habits, so to speak, and take profits too soon or trim here, so on and so forth. So far, so good, but I'm not going to say success until I've got bigger sample size and I feel that it is now routine.
Of course, yeah. It's only the second quarter. I mean, there's plenty on my list that I can safely say haven't, you know, completed or gotten around to. So that's great to hear, though, that, you know, your self-reflection is drawn some form of conclusion. And then the last one you had was more technical analysis. Mm-hmm, so are there any technical analyses you've utilized in the last couple of months that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, just getting deeper into intermarket asset class correlations, as well as performance ratios, just in because I'm used to doing trying to define the market as risk on, risk off, defensive or offensive. So I have a particular set of performance ratios, ETFs and whatnot, for the different sectors or different asset classes that help to lend, to defining those aspects or characteristics of the market regime. So now I'm trying to, broaden that out some more to also, give me an idea of, where the money's flowing to, not just risk on or risk off, but, what sectors and, these different cycles that we'll go through is where, where the money is flowing, and through the various performance ratios, you can define that as well. So that's another aspect, as well as just like you had said earlier, Patrick, like the beauty of the market, like you always have to have your pen ready, and your notepad, because you wake up thinking, there's nothing left. But every day there's something you can learn. Every week there's something somebody, puts out on Twitter you had no idea even existed, and then there's technical terms that a firm uses, but this other firm calls it something else. A couple weeks ago, a sentiment trader had put out that the Copic curve buy signal, had just fired. And I'm like, okay, Copic curve. Now I got to learn what that is. And from there, I learned that, this other firm just calls it the value momentum, or VLT, value long-term buy signal. So everybody's calling things, differently by, when it comes to technical analysis. Fundamental analysis is pretty easy terminology, but technical analysis, it's like, there's so many different stochastics, so many different performance ratios.
I'm
dedicated to it. I grew up on fundamentals.
What we have here at Schaefer's is the expectational analysis, is the merging and the melding of the two.
Right.
And I can safely say I've never, seen the Copic curve ever.
Yeah, it's a long-term, either sell signal or buy signal, comprised of, a bunch of different breadth and momentum, indicators embedded. Yeah. So that was one that, I learned, dedicated to it. You can derive, a lot of times we're fearful of the market, and so we rely on headlines. We think that the headlines are going to keep us safe and help us to make decisions. But, the technicals inside the market generally are pricing in well in advance these issues. The KBX, the KRX, the regional banking index dropped 25%, on these banking, fallout issues and whatnot. Like that, within a 2-week period, dropped 25%. And so now, if you look at the stochastics for that particular, the banking regional index, knowing that, okay, the banks are going to start reporting this week into next week, but they already fell 25%, right? So even though those fundamentals are likely going to be to paint a less rosy picture, the technical stuff is far in advance of what those fundamentals are going to say to us. So, that's why I came into this year wanting to broaden, to get a leg up. What's your edge in the market? Well, if my edge is that I know multiple disciplines, I should perform better.
Well, if I was a teacher, I would have given you a passing grade just off of that, because it sounds like you know what you're talking about. And if you consider yourself a student,
I'll try.
It's pretty impressive.
I try. I appreciate it.
I'm sold on that. This is what this podcast is about, is continually learning, continually getting better, finding, that 1% that you can have that gives you an edge. So yep. I love to hear it. I'm going to go ahead and just give you check marks on all three. So you can go ahead and, report that back to your parents that you,
Appreciate it. I'll take it to my geography teacher in 10th grade
who gave me a Mrs. Raffensperger.
I still remember her, Miss Raffensperger.
Yeah, did she screw you over with something?
You know, she was honest with me. Yeah, I mean, she knew. Yeah. There were times that you know, I wanted to take off a semester, you know, and she would get frustrated with Seth and, you know, she'd put the F on the report card. Well, she'd come around to you and she, you know, show you what you're going to get, you know, at the end of the quarter before it, you know, goes official. And I remember, you know, she came to me, she's like, you know, you didn't do anything this semester, Seth, I can't help. And, you know, she was basically giving me the opportunity because she knew all it really was for me was effort. You know, I'm a pretty astute person if I decide to, but it's about the discipline. And in high school, I had focuses elsewhere. And, you know, I was like, yes, Mrs. Raffensperger, I promise you, I'll give you a B. She's like, you're not giving me anything. It's for you. And I'm like, I mean, I'll get a B, Miss Raffensperger, if you just bump it up to a D, because I can't bring home an F. You know, there go the car keys. There goes soccer. There goes basketball. You know, I'm like, you just give me the D. I promise I will get it. And I did. I made good on my promises, but I remember those conversations like they were yesterday.
Do you know how many times I had to walk to practice? I had to walk to school because I had my car taken away. Yeah, no, just the sheer panic of the teacher passing out the grades. Everyone's are being passed upright. And then mine was especially, I think it was calculus. She slides mine and the paper's down. And you just have to put your head in your hands like, oh,
yeah, you knew that wasn't good.
Yep. So, hey, I'm very familiar with that feeling. Yeah. You know what? Let's just pivot to your life ones now. I'll give quick updates on mine at the end here. So you also talked you wanted to have more vacation time, not just staycation stuff, but, you know, trips. And I know it was the winter. It's hard to plan stuff for the first quarter. So I understand if you haven't gone on any type of trip, but do you have anything coming up that you're looking forward to?
Oh yeah, and like we're getting, we're trying to get ahead of the game because you know I'm here in Florida, and the West Coast, Tampa, St. Pete, Treasure Island, Madeira Beach. We went there last year for 4th of July. It was the first time for the kids at the beach and everything. Loved it. We were there for the weekend. It was awesome. We did a what do you call it? Airbnb. You know, got a terrible rate because we did it late. So I was just talking to my wife a couple of days ago. I'm like, we probably need to get on this now for the 4th of July weekend because we want to go back there. And sure enough, you know, she did. She's great. My wife take care of all that stuff. So we're hooked up for Madeira Beach again. But also when it comes to, you know, not just vacationing, but just work-life balance, something that we're doing here this year at Phenom Group is – Friday cutting out early. Friday, we close down shop 1 o'clock. I mean, it's Friday. Volumes die off in the market. And, you know, our Phenom Group traders and investors, they know how to get a hold of me if they need anything anyways. But, you know, it's a time to – I mean, we usually go 8 a.m. to 4 o'clock Monday through Friday, you know, doing educational stuff and dialoguing about all the different price action and in the markets, looking at all the asset classes, doing technicals live, you know, in our trading room. And on Friday, you know, most people check out early anyways. You have low participation in our trading room on Friday. So I was you know what? Let's do a little work balance for everybody. This way also nobody thinks that they're going to miss anything that Seth says or whatnot. So you know, incorporating that into our routine this year really helps, you know, with the work-life balance. I can get away. I can do stuff I can go and take the kids to the park or something, you know, on a Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
There's nothing worse than like 2 o'clock and the sun's out. Most of your friends are off, but you know, you've got some stuff you kind of have to wind down or you have some obligations. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's great to hear. You know, we're all about that work-life balance. Moving right along, the big one, the Cheeto check-in.
Oh, epic failure. Epic failure, brother. No. Oh, man. Like, January was going well, right? I don't lie. I tell it like it's just epic failure. We got into February, and, you almost think it's like nicotine for me, right? Because the market peaked in February, like on February 2nd, it started going down, and you could just, feel the smoker starting to, get into their cigarette packs. And I was in the cabinet because we have the little baggy ones for the kids mm-hmm. for their lunches that we pack.
Dangerous because then you just get a little bit, but it's enough to keep you on the.
There you go. So I dug into the kids' snack bags, and then before you know it, I'm at Sam's Club picking up the big one, and bringing that home.
Fell off the wagon. So,
yeah, fell off. Exactly. Fell off the wagon. I will try to get back on the wagon for sure, but. Yeah, not my proudest moment there.
That's so funny. You've been nailing every single thing that I wrote down,
and then
we get to the Cheeto, and you're just like, no, absolutely not, no, there's no way. Hey, you know what? If you nailed them all, this would almost be kind of boring. It's more fun to kind of have something to progress. If you nailed them all, what are you supposed to do for the rest of the three quarters?
Right?
So
yeah.
you gotta have something to keep you pushing forward.
There you go.
The last one we talked about was like some kind of craft that you're developing. And I know you guys are fixing up a house down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going well. We should this one should be completed within the next 2 weeks. We're kind of winding down. We're just really waiting on the countertops. But in terms of craft, so we get most of our materials from either Lowe's or Home Depot. They give us you get your construction deal, so we get like 10% less than just you're buying off the shelf, so to speak. But we're always looking for like scratch and dents on doors, because we always have to replace appliances and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. we go and look for scratch and dents. Well, we're putting on these barn doors, which have become really popular inside instead of closet doors and stuff. You have these sliding bar. Yeah. Well, there were two at the Lowe's, but they had holes because they're hollow inside. Yeah. So they had like holes from shipping, right? So they marked them down from $220 to $160. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, some plaster of Paris, some nice paint over. I think we can fix this. Mm-hmm. And there were two of them, and we need three, but there were two like that. They had marked them both down from $220 to $161. So I was like, do you think because I'm taking a lot of risk here. If I can't repair this, I'm losing $161. Can you guys take $100 for each of them? And they did. They were like, yeah, we'll mark it down to $100. So I'm like, all right, I lose $200 instead of $320 if I had paid, even the markdown price. So we got them back to the remodel house, and, we're putting the putty inside, a couple of shimmies, wood shimmies, and then some plaster Paris overneath. And then we did the white paint primer, over the door again. And you wouldn't even know it ever had. And this is before we do a paint color. But, sanded it a little bit. And you wouldn't have even known that there were holes. And we saved, and that's kind of the craft I'm trying to learn, how to patch things up and whatnot really well, and to sand it so it looks like, it's just brand new construction. So
yeah, and you might be wondering 29 minutes in why we're talking about patching and crafting here on an Options and Investing podcast. But there are life and investing lessons that can be applied, from that story.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you can patch holes in your portfolio. You get into a deeply offsided position. There are ways that you can, mend that position, patch it up, and repair to the extent that you can. I mean, that door is not going to be a brand new door, but through the effort and exercise, it looks like it is. Nobody would have known that it was deeply, just like in your portfolio. Once you get back to even, nobody would know what it took to get back there. But where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely. Well, You get top marks across the board. Just, I've got check marks all up and down my paper right now. Seth,
Hey, sir.
Great to check in. Great to kind of get your,
thank you, Patrick,
your temperature check of the market and everything. Maybe we'll do a third quarter check in. I'll give you mine at a different time. Great just to hear your perspective and everything else. Couldn't thank you enough for coming on, and you know, we'll talk soon. Keep on trucking, man. I got no advice for you. Nothing. Just keep doing
Absolutely, sir. Thank you.
You're killing it.
Appreciate it.
Take care, Seth.
You as well. Thank you.